Shaw.
I'd like to thank the Lord for allowing me to be back here another Saturday afternoon in the way of this broadcast. I hope and pray that the broadcast be a blessing to you today. Hope that you'll pay close attention. See, that's the only hope you got of ever being saved if you've never been saved. You got a desire to hear the Word of God. You got to desire God of life itself. You got to want to be changed and want to be forced quickened and made alive by the Holy Spirit. And it does not come, of course, by the Lord does not force His way on you. I tell you, it only comes when your heart is ready, when your heart's broke and it's contrite, and you really want to be saved. That's what it's all about. The Bible said, of course, it's by grace are we saved through faith. Not a work, lest any man should boast, it's the gift of God. The only way we're going to get saved by God's amazing grace. See, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. We all would be. The Bible says, of course, we're born in sin and shape of iniquity. And I tell you, some of us or some people are worse sinners than others. But let me tell you something, we're all, of course, sinners. The Bible said we're all in that state. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There never has been a person that was sinless. Jesus is the only one that was sinless, and that's why He's the Savior. So everyone, of course, that's been born or are going to be born in this world, they're sinners. I tell you, they were born in sin and shaped with iniquity. I tell you, I know, of course, when I got saved, God made me a saint of God. He called me out from the world to be separate. I tell you, we all was born that way. In sin. The Bible said if He died for all, that means all were dead. That means all were found sinners in the sight of God. And so therefore, it took Jesus, it took the Son of God to come, to bleed, suffer, and die on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for sin, that we could be reconciled back to God. There's no way that we could get to God. There's no way we could get to heaven outside, of course, the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He paid it in full. He paid it all. I tell you, He paid our sin debt. He paid, of course, for our sins, that we wouldn't have to die in sin and go to hell. I'll never be held accountable for my sins that I've done before I got saved. They're under the blood of Jesus. He forgave me of all those sins. He washed me in His blood, and He died for that. If He didn't die for sin and shed His blood, then, of course, He couldn't wash away my sins. But see, He did. He died for not only my sin, but for everyone's sin. Of course, when He died and shed His blood, He paid for sin. He became, of course, the atonement for sin. I'll tell you today, if you're lost and on your way to hell, it's not God's fault. I tell you, God sent His Son in the world, not to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He's made the way that all could come and take a drink of the water of life freely. I mean, it's free. I tell you, Jesus, of course, paid an awful price for it, but it's free to us. I tell you, all we got to do, it'd be, of course, sorry that we sin against God and repent of our sins and just be broke and contrite, and we'll get saved if you really call on the Lord with a whole heart. The Lord will not make you get saved. He won't, of course, wrestle you down and cause you to call on Him. It's a free thing. It's something that you must want to do. It's something that you want to be, of course, you want above life itself. And I tell you, nobody has to coach you into it. No one has to try to, of course, really influence you to do so. I tell you, the Holy Spirit will do that. I mean, it's up to us, we that are, of course, Christians, to get out there and to testify, and those that's called to preach the gospel. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit will bring on conviction and cause them, of course, to search and try their ways and look at themselves and repent. But I'm talking about no one can set you down and get a mouth confession out of you. And I tell you, just, of course, do those things and cause you to say a prayer after them and tell you that you're saved. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that you can, of course, be saved. The Holy Spirit's got to deal with you. He's got to break your heart. He's got to crush your spirit. He's got to really crush you and let you see yourself. And you got to come to that point where nothing else matters but being saved. I mean, you're not wanting to hold on to anything or anybody, but you just want to give it all up. You just want to be saved. And when you get like that, I promise you the Holy Spirit will deal with you and draw you down and of course, put you down where you're a place of repentance. He'll hear your cry. He'll deliver you out of all your troubles. He'll deliver you out of all your sins and bring you out and cleanse you and wash you, I tell you, in His own blood. I tell you now, I've of course been perfected in Jesus because He shed His blood at Calvary and paid for my sin. But I'm going to tell you something, that doesn't give me a license to sin, but He's already paid for my sins in full. Let me tell you something, I can't sin after I've been saved. I can sin in my flesh and go out and commit sin, but I won't get by with it. The Lord will lay down His rod on me. He said, "Me as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And we get out of God's will and out of God's word, what happens? He'll lay down the chastiser rod upon us. I'll tell you, begin to whip us. And I'll tell you, he'll whip us because he loves us. And he's concerned about us. He don't want us to be conformed to the world, but be transformed with the renewal of our mind. The Bible said, be transformed by the renewal of our mind, that we may know the perfect will of God for our lives. He wants us to, of course, follow him and not our flesh. Because if we follow our flesh, we're going to fall and we're going to be ashamed. And we're going to really shame him who called us and chosen us to be a soldier. God help us today to stand strong in the faith where we stand and where that we have heard and believed. The Bible said that we ought to stand. The Bible said, do all to stand that you might stand. We got to have on the whole armor of God on. We got to have that shield of faith and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. We got to do all to stand. He said, finally, brethren, do all to stand that you might stand against the wiles and old tricks and the tactics of the devil. He said, knowing that the devil is a roaring lion walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour. The Bible said he is our adversary, and he's going to do all he can to rob, steal, kill, and destroy us. So we must be ready. We must be girded up and be girded up with the strength of the Lord, that we might be able to fight off the fiery darts of the wicked. I tell you, the devil is on the rampage. And I tell you, we must have our shield of faith and believe God, knowing that we'll have the petitions that we ask of him. The Bible said, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we pray, we got to believe we'll have the things that we ask of God. I tell you, if we pray in faith and we pray with confidence, the Bible said, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God that we have the petitions that we ask of God. So if we're praying, we have our hearts right and communion with the Lord, we'll have the confidence and our heart will not condemn us, and we'll know that we'll have the petitions that we ask of the Lord. Now, he wants us to believe on him. Believe him. Of course, I've already believed on him. I've already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got saved. I believe on him. I tell you, the Bible said, if we shall believe in him, the Bible said, then we'll be saved. Of course, the Bible said, how can they call them on whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? That's what the Bible said in Romans 10, and I'm reading it here right in front of me. I tell you, that's what the Bible said. Now, the Bible said you got to believe on him. You got to believe in him. The Bible said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I believe him. And then, of course, today, being saved, I believe him. I know that he'll answer prayer. I believe he's able to take care of every need I got. I know he's able to meet my financial needs. He's able to meet my physical needs. He's able to meet every need that I've got because he's God. I mean, beside him, there is none other. I tell you, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I'm not dependent on some preacher. I'm not dependent on sending my money to some preacher, of course, to meet my needs and have a mansion and have a nice car. I tell you, I'm just dependent on the Lord. I tell you, the Bible said, well, just to have food and raiment, there would be content. The Bible talked about for those that preach gain is godless. For such, you turn away. Turn away from these men and people that teach that gain is godless. The Bible said, but godless with contentment is great gain. That's how you gain. That's how you grow in the Lord. That's how you really have something. And it don't so much mean, of course, material things, but it's, of course, to have the blessings that's from the Lord. That's the only way you'll be happy anyway. Of course, brand new home and a brand new car. And of course, going out and doing anything and everything you want does not satisfy you. You go and ask the people that's doing it. They'll tell you. I tell you, you'll see by the lifestyles they have that they're not happy. You can say they're not satisfied, but you take a born-again Christian, a born-again child of God, and you take one that's living for the Lord and those that's staying in prayer and reading their Bible, you'll find the most happiest person in all the world. I tell you, you'll see the contentment that they have. You'll see the satisfaction that they have. And I even though they might live in some type of little shack, and maybe no doubt they'll have a whole lot of what life has to offer, but you'll see that they're satisfied with Jesus. You'll see they got a happy home. They got a real home. It's only in Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. You take the child of God, of course, they may not have a whole lot, but most of the time if they're living for God, they'll have a clean home. Their house will be clean. I tell you, they'll have a clean way of life because when God gets on the inside, he cleans you up. I tell you, you don't want to run in the wall in the mire no more. You have no desire to run to the bars anymore. You have no desire to smoke and hoop and cuss and do everything that the world's doing. But when you get saved, your desire and your nature's been changed. I tell you, your nature is a sheep's nature, and you have desire to be clean. You have a desire to follow the still waters. You don't desire to get into troubled waters, but you desire to follow the shepherd. Your desire is to follow the shepherd and to go and follow his footsteps. The Bible talks about that. And Dr. Sums of David knew about it. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, the Lord's my shepherd. He said, that's why I'm not in want, because he's my shepherd. He's my guider. He's the one that guides me through all truth. He's the one that takes care of me, because I have no sense enough to know how to do it myself. I tell you, we don't really know how to take care of ourselves, spiritually speaking. I tell you, this flesh is rotten. Now, we know, of course, that we also pray and study. I'm not talking that. But I'm not talking about, we got to totally depend on our shepherd. He's the one that helps us and guides us and comforts us through all sorrow. He's the one that carries our burdens. He's the one that knows our burdens. He knows what we're going through. He knows what's on our hearts, even though we hadn't even told him. And with our tongue, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows every circumstance that we have. He just wants us to learn to depend on him and put it all at his feet and place it in his hand, and we'll see and let God carry our burdens and carry our sorrows. I promise you, you'll be satisfied. He'll take care of every need you got. I tell you, he's taking care of my needs. I tell you, at times I catch myself worrying about things and situations, but I have to learn to remind myself that God's in charge. As long as I try to do his will and keep my eye on him and stay in prayer, and I tell you, just trust God, I tell you, he'll meet every need I got. I tell you, as long as we watch the way we spin and watch the way we do, and I tell you, we just pray about everything, the Lord will guide us and give us what we stand in need of. A lot of times most of the time we get ourselves in trouble because of the decisions that we make. Decisions that we need to make is what, of course, we reap. A lot of times, sometimes, things, of course, that other people bring in our lives, and I tell you, we suffer because of those things. But most of the time when we suffer because of the things that we've done, the things that we've brought in our own lives. And I tell you, we just got to learn to trust God and lean on him and put it all at his feet and let God take care of every situation. I tell you, he's the shepherd of the sheep. Let me tell you something. The shepherd cares for the sheep. He cares for the sheep. You take a natural course of a little animal, a shepherd. You take the sheep, and you tell that the shepherd's concerned for the sheep. I tell you, he takes care of them, and of course, the Lord takes care of us. We're the same, and I'm so glad he does. I don't know how to take care of myself without him. I tell you something, folks. I tell you, he just helps me all the time. He helps me. I tell you, I don't even deserve it. I tell you, that's what makes me love him more, because realizing I don't deserve his grace. I don't deserve his blessings. I don't deserve his fellowship and his presence that I feel in my soul. I don't deserve it, because I see myself, I've come so far short of where I ought to be. I tell you, I believe everyone that's been saved, I believe if they really look at themselves, they'll have to cry out like Isaiah did, "Woe is me." I believe that. I believe the closer you get to the Lord, the more you see how closer you need to get. Boy, you'll see how wretched that you really are, because you realize that there's nothing good about you. The only thing that's good about us today that we're saved is the Lord. It's not us. It's the Lord. I tell you, we got to learn to lean on him with all our hearts, and not to lean to our own understanding, but all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. We don't have to follow after riches and the things of the world. That's what the world seeks. But the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are added. We don't have to go and try to depend on the preacher and give our money to him that we'd have the riches and the money we need to pay our bills. I tell you, those people are out of hell. If a man tells you to give your money to him, and you'll get a blessing, and God, of course, they'll just part his blessings fourfold and give you a brand new car at home, you mark that man, he's out of hell. He's not of God. Now, I believe that I believe we ought to tithe. I believe we ought to give offerings when God puts it on our heart. I believe we ought to support the man of God if he's a real man of God. I do believe that. I really do. I believe that God, of course, wants us to support a good ministry. I believe that. But I tell you, these people, that's all they teach, and that's all you hear out of their mouths is the blessings of giving and give your money to them. There's something wrong with them. I tell you, they're not of God. I tell you, a real man of God will stand up and preach against sin. He's going to preach it in love. He's going to be concerned about the flock. He's the under-shepherd. He'll be concerned about the flock, see? He'll have a burden on his heart for them, and he'll preach to them whether they like it or not. But you got these people, they're ear ticklers. They tickle people's ear. They don't want to step on nobody's toes because they don't want to hurt the cash flow that's coming in, see? You get a person mad, they'll quit giving them money. You make a person upset, they'll quit coming to church. They won't tithe and give their offering, see? And therefore, it's going to hurt their back pockets. But yet, they're going to do everything they can to put everybody on a just a real smooth, ongoing relationship. And they're going to just preach it and just, of course, entice people and just make them feel good and tell, oh, the big old jokes, make everybody laugh and everything else. And everybody's a brother and everybody's a sister. And everybody's just all in love with one another. And all of them's going to heaven. They're all on the way to hell. God have mercy on them. I tell you, I preach it love today, and I'm concerned about you. No doubt somebody I'll preach to today. I tell you, you've been following these people. You need to get away from them because they're damning them in your soul. If you follow them, you'll wake up your eyes in hell. I'm telling you the truth today because God's given it. I know He's given it, and it's for you today. It's for you to listen to what I'm saying. And don't you depend on these TV preachers and a lot of these radio preachers because they after what they can get out of you. I tell you, if he's not preaching truth, he's not preaching his sin, he's not of God, he's out of hell, he's of the devil. I tell you, you need to search him and you look at him. The Bible says you must believe that Satan has his ministers and they're transforming themselves as ministers of light. They sound good. They preach the word. They know the scriptures. They know how to really make it sound good. But yet all alone, there's no love. There's no Spirit of God in it. It cannot help you. But the Bible tells you, Book of Timothy, or you go over and read it. It might be 2 Timothy, but maybe 1 and 2 Timothy. You go over and read, and it tells you exactly about these people. It tells you about, you must not seek those things that are beneath, because the devil, that's what he's after, the riches of this world. And I tell you, that's what they're after. You listen to them. You listen to them, and you'll know what they're after. You turn them on the television set, and I tell you, that's all their message is about. I tell you, 80% of it's all about giving. The blessings are given. Oh, you give your money, and you send me a love offering. And then, of course, at the end of this service, I'll pray with you. You put your head on the sand, and I'll pray for you, and you'll be healed of your cancer. You'll be healed of this, and you'll be healed of that. I tell you, that's not of God. It's not of hell. It's of the devil. Listen, I believe in a divine healing. I do. I believe God can heal. I've seen Him do it. He's done it in my life. He's done it in other people in my life. And of course, in the church, I tell you, the Lord has blessed and healed many of them. I've seen a man of God, of course, touch him and not to be seen. I tell you, he didn't make no big show about it. But the Lord caused him to put his hand there. He didn't just take it upon himself and put his hand on somebody. But God will put healing. I tell you, there's one time there was, of course, a customer of mine. She came in. It's been years ago. She had a son. He had a bad knee problem, bad knee. And he couldn't play basketball. And I tell you something, I didn't plan to do anything. But I looked, and the Lord caused me to put my hand on his knee. I didn't think of nothing. I mean, God moved on me, and I put my hand on his knee. When I did, I just felt the Lord, all in my soul. I felt God moving in me, and I know it was God. And I looked at her, and I had tears in my eyes, and I said, I believe it's going to be all right. It wasn't long later, she come back. She said he hadn't had no more problems with his knees, and the doctors are amazed. And I tell you, he has no problem. He's playing ball. I tell you, God did that. God did it for a reason. Not that man would be lifted up. Not that any man would be praised for it. But that God would get the glory. And that young fella would get the good. And God did that. I'm saying this to give you an example. I believe in healing. I know God can heal the man of God. Of course, our pastor, the Lord, has caused him to do that to several people in the church. And I tell you, they were healed. Some had cancer, were healed. Some was, of course, they said it was a vegetable, and they was on life support. And of course, he went, and God caused him to pray. And right away, if that wasn't, he said the man started to begin to cry out. He didn't even have a vital sign, but he began to croak a little bit. And they got the nurses in there, and I said they said that was good because he had a vital sign finally. I tell you, God has done these things over and over. I can tell you what God has done, how He's healed people that I know. But I'm going to tell you something. These people are out of hell. They're on there after what they can get out of you. If it takes you, send their money for them to pray over you. Then I tell you, it's not going to happen. But I tell you something. They, of course, some that hear me preach, they're going to try to tell a little bit different way. But I tell you, they study this, how to say it. They study it to try to know what to do, to cut people out of what you got. Let me tell you, there's some, too, that's in this that are sincere. Some of them really believe it, and some of them really teaching it. But you got some, they know what they're doing. The Bible said that they're deceiving others, and they themselves are deceived. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're ever learning the Bible. They're ever learning the Scripture, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're reprobate, the Bible said. God will turn them over to a reprobated mind because they make joke and mock out of the house of God
got to turn them over, just like he did those homosexuals. That God, the Bible said they were men with men and women with women, and God turned them over to a reprobate of mind because they refused to receive God in their knowledge. Because God will turn them over. God help you today. God help you today that you will not rebel against the truth. I tell you, you can rebel against what I'm preaching. You can rebel against the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you'll never have forgiveness in this world or the world to come. Be careful what you say, what I'm preaching today, because God is giving what I'm saying. I tell you something, I don't know you, but God does. And somebody today may be speaking out of what I'm saying. And I tell you, be careful. If you do that, God will smote you. You'll sin unto death. I mean, you'll sin and go to hell. What happened? Because what happened, God will turn you over to a reprobate of mind. Yet you may live another 20, 30 years, but never get saved. Bible said if you blaspheme His Holy Ghost. But I tell you the truth today because I love you. I tell you I love you. I don't, of course, judge a man after his flesh. I tell you right away, people say, judge not, you be not judged. I'm not judging a man after his flesh. I'm judging the man according to the Word of God. The Bible said we need to try the Spirit. The Bible said in the Bible, 1 John, He said there's many false teachers going out in the world. He said try the Spirit. Try, but see if it be true. See if it be of error. See if it be God or not. That's judging. That's judging the Spirit. See if the Spirit of God's in them. He said, if the Spirit of Christ is not in them, then you're not of His. And therefore, if they don't have the Spirit, then I know they're not of God. That's how I can tell you these people are not real, because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. The Bible said that, of course, if we'll try the Spirit, if we'll know them. We'll know if we'll try them. The Bible said if we'll exercise our senses, and I tell you that's one of the gifts, of course, is discerning of the Spirit. If we'll exercise that, God will give you that gift about discern whether that be of God or not. He'll do it for you. If you really want Him to. But I'm telling you today, I'm preaching what God gives me and not what another man has said. I'm preaching because God gives it today. You need to be careful what you listen to. Me and a fellow was talking about this last night. Of course, one of my customers, and he was sharing this, and he was in agreement with me. But that's not why I'm preaching it today. I'm preaching because God's given it. There's somebody who's listening to me today that needs it. Somebody of you today been listening to these TV preachers and some of these people that are preaching what I'm telling you. I tell you, you need to turn them off. You need to get to a real Bible-believing church. You need to. You need to come and be with us at King Road Baptist Church. Everybody's welcome. You need to come be with us. We're down in Fayetteville, Georgia, right down in the American Legion building right now. You can't miss it. It's right there in the heart of Fayetteville, right beside the police station. I tell you, you need to come be with us. God will send you on in. Come be with us. That's where we're meeting right now, every Sunday and every Wednesday. Every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock service, of course, Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Of course, 7 o'clock Wednesday night service. You need to come and be with us. You need to come be with us. The Bible tells us, of course, we need to be in the house of the Lord. Every time the doors are open, the Bible says, forsake not yourself assembling together, even more so when you see the day approaching. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be where a man of God is really preaching the good word of God. That's the only hope you got. And I tell you some folks, there's a famine in the land. The Bible tells us that in the book of Amos. He said there's a famine in the land. He said it's not a bread, it's not a water. But the Bible said there's a famine in the land of hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. That's what kind of famine that we got. I'll tell you the reason why they can't hear, because they don't have a preacher. They don't have a preacher. I'll tell you that's what kind of shortage we got today. Real preachers today. I'll tell you that's what the Bible said. It says right here, and of course, Romans 10:14, it talks about 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, how should they call on whom they have not believed? How should they believe in whom they have not heard? The Bible said, and how should they hear without a preacher? You've got to have a real preacher before they can hear. That's what the Bible tells us. That's why in the book of Amos said, there's a famine of land of hearing the Word of God. I tell you, you've got to hear the Word of God. And then you've got to believe what you hear before you ever be saved. You got to really listen to what the Lord is trying to speak to your heart about. You can't get saved without hearing the Word of God. Because the Bible said faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Verse 17 tells you that. He said, verse 16, for they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who have believed our report? He said, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So therefore, the Bible said you got to have faith. And the Bible said if you have faith, then you'll be saved. And I tell you, there's a famine in the land. I tell you, and the Bible said it's hearing of the Word of God. I'm saying this today because you need to hear this. And I hope that I'm still on the air today. I'm preaching from home. You know, Mike, I believe you might have said something through the phone, and I'm not exactly what it is today. I know I still got plenty of time here, so that's what kind of disturbed me a little bit right here. But I know the Lord's in charge, and I hope that I'm still on the air today. But I want you to really pay close attention to what I'm saying today. Of course, don't let the devil work on your mind, whoever it may be, because the devil works on all of us. He works on me when he can. And I try to realize that, of course, it's the devil, and I try to cast it aside. Don't let the devil work on my flesh and work on my mind, knowing that God's in charge. But you need to really listen today, and you need to really come to the Lord. You got to really come right before you ever get saved. I tell you, that's what's the matter with most people today. They didn't come right. They didn't get to a real church and really have a man of God to really teach them and preach to them the way of salvation. All they've been taught was go to church, join the church, do good, get baptized in the water, and of course you're saved. And of course it's not that away. The Bible said there's no way that you can get saved outside of His Spirit. Now, the Bible said, repent therefore every one of you for the remission of your sins, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, the Bible said, lest you repent and be baptized, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, you got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, of course, for the remission of sin. Now, when the Bible mentions baptism, that doesn't always mean water. It doesn't mean water. When it means water, it says water. I tell you, there's so many baptisms mentioned in the Bible. Of course, Hebrews, I believe, chapter 6, it tells us the doctrines of baptism. There's many baptisms mentioned in the Bible, but there's only one baptism essential to salvation. Of course, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that in the book of Corinthians. He said, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. He talked about that. He said, it's by one Spirit. He said, now, how do you get baptized in the body? Is it by water? Is it by, of course, repentance? Of course, we got to repent before you ever get saved. But he said, how do you get baptized in the body of Jesus, in the body of Christ? He said, it's by a Spirit. It's not water. Because he said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. He said, now, he says, by His Spirit we're baptized into the body. That's only, of course, baptism essential to salvation. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. That means there's only one essential to get you into the body of Christ. And he tells us that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it's by His Spirit that you're baptized into the body. You get His Spirit, of course, by repenting of your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and He comes in, the Holy Ghost comes right then. Now, of course, when Jesus was baptized of John, the Bible said, of course, in the book of John, He talked about, of course, the one that was baptized. He said, the one that you baptize and the Spirit come down, descend like a dove, He said, this will be the Son of God. See, that's why the Spirit came on Him when He was baptized with water. If you go look in Acts chapter 10 and read over that, and all those, and you'll see that the Holy Ghost came, then they got baptized in the water. But I see my time's done quickly. Come and go. Just come and be with us at King Road Baptist Church. God bless you. Until next week, Lord willing, in Jesus' precious name, amen.